all, because that's what we do. I mean, that is exactly what we do. And, man, high school basketball, some good and some tough moments, for sure. But ultimately, East Central Indiana represented well. I mean, they represented well. The fans, the communities of both schools, I mean, very well represented. Congratulations to the Wapahani Raiders. What a story. And even before, they got some statewide attention last week. You know, this is a team that, again, we had kind of been mentioning the breakthrough was likely this year. You know, the personnel that they have, the way that they play, this is so interesting, because oftentimes you get special groups, and you know, every coach can tell you off the top of their head, hey, I remember when I got that special group, and you have them for 2 to 3 years, and then you got to retool. And in a lot of ways, you are at the mercy in high school basketball and high school sports of what you have, what your pool looks like. And you know, I have talked to Wapahani and Matt Luce in this program for the last 4 years. I mean, you look at Isaac Andrews, you look at the Camden Bell of the world, Nick Cook, you know, Nate Luce, Mason Barton, all of these guys, they've been playing together for a very, very long time. And a lot of the times we get that four-year little snippet of what the previous 5, 6, 7 years getting to this point has all been about. And you know, Coach Luce has reminded of that us of that from start to really finish of this season. But you know, he said something on Saturday. So it was a wild day Saturday, because obviously we had two crews in different sites. I was at Logansport for the Delta coverage, and Jimmy Cook and Rob Fisher did a fantastic job covering what was a very emotional scene, and obviously a semi-state championship and state championship experience coming up for the Wapahani Raiders here in a few weeks. In between games, I'll just give you a little peek behind the curtain. I did interviews with Matt Luce and Mark Dittweiler for the night games. And so that was the first time I had a chance to talk to Coach Luce throughout last week. And he said something in that interview that was so poignant and so stuck out to me. And that is, their semi-state championship appearance and this run, you know, really, they just wanted to break through for all of the years of great teams that Wapahani has had. And that's a big statement, because there's been a lot of great teams for Wapahani. I think I've highlighted over the years Matt Luce has been with the program, they have had 5 20-win seasons. Until last year, they had never won a regional championship. Until last year, they had never been in the semi-state round. And doing it back-to-back years, they just wanted to break through and get to the ultimate pinnacle, which they're going to have the opportunity to do that at Gainbridge Fieldhouse coming up in a couple of weekends. But he said, you know, this signifies all of the years with the Jacob Fosters, the Grant Evans, the Peyton West, and now Isaac Andrews here, of this entire group that has, you know, had this chance and now has the ultimate chance to do something that has not been done in school history in boys basketball. Of course, the first state championship appearance in boys basketball for Wapahani. I thought that was a really cool statement and a really cool moment. That, I mean, ever since 2013, Wapahani has won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 sectional championships. So they had won 6 sectional championships in that time, and it's only been since these last couple of years that they've won back-to-back regional championships and now a semi-state championship at that. there's so many different moments that stick out throughout the year, and we're thrilled that we have a couple of weeks to really tell these stories and really go through this run, because it certainly is impressive. I mean, it's been impressive from the very start, and, you know, this team has almost gotten better in tournament play. They have been their best version of themselves, the cliche that we've talked about time and time again. They have been just that here as of late. But the biggest moments for the best players and the biggest players. And Isaac Andrews, if you haven't seen the sequence in overtime, the area's all-time leading scorer in history, put on an absolute display in overtime. It was about a minute and 20-second string where he hit three straight threes in three very different ways. And it was back and forth in the overtime period early on, and then Isaac took it upon himself to just take over. And that's what you would want down the stretch. And, you know, when we were at Delta, covering the Delta games on Saturday, I mean, there just feels like there's this emphasis, like every coach tells you they don't want to change a ton. Okay, they don't want to change who they are, because at the end of the day, the reason why you're in that position is because you've done things a certain way. You've won a certain way. You do what's got you there. The only slight tweak is this. The usage and the ball in the hands of your best player goes way up in those big moments. And obviously in overtime, you're going to allow your best players to create. You're going to allow your best players to really make the decisions at the end of the day. You live and die by the best players on the floor. And it didn't really look like in the Wapahani game, and again, I can't speak for it because I wasn't there. We had two simultaneous broadcasts going on at the same time, so I've seen clips just like everybody else has that may not have been there in person. But it was almost like Isaac making the decision, hey, I'm going to take this game over. I'm going to shut this thing down. And he did so in rather emphatic form. And I just, when I was watching it, you could sense a little bit of an emotional aspect to it, obviously, with what the past couple of days have been. Just a moving emotional weekend from a lot of different angles, and emotional from the standpoint as well, those that have followed that program as well, the experience that those young men in that program and that school corporation is about to have to head to the boys basketball state finals. You know, it has been 18 years since a Delaware County school has been in the boys basketball state finals. That was ever since Muncie Central did it back in, I believe it was 2006. It was 2006. 2005, 2006, they went to back-to-back state championship appearances against Lawrence North, and that's the last time a Delaware County school has been in the boys basketball state finals. You go back to Delta in 2002. So at the end of the day, that's a pretty big accomplishment. And, you know, I'm going to say this because I have been incredibly fortunate since 2017 to work with the IHSA Champions Network, and I'm excited to have the opportunity to do so again coming up on March 30th for the 1A broadcast, and then we'll have the 2A one here as well. But it's fun to call state championship games. It's fun to be a part of that atmosphere. It's fun to tell those stories. I am just fired up that Delaware County gets a representative in the boys basketball state finals, and they can tell the great stories of East Central Indiana basketball over a two-week span. Today at Gainbridge Fieldhouse, there was the media availability, and for those of you that may not have known this, basically every state championship finalist coach is available for the media to interview and tell the stories and those sorts of things, and it looked like the three seniors for Wapahani were there today with the coaching staff. Of course, Matt Luce and that crew having the opportunity to tell all of those stories today. this is going to be an incredible two-week ride, and then this crew is going to get ready for a really good Brownstown Central team led by Purdue recruit Jack Benter. His dad's the head coach, Dave Benter, but well, plenty to obviously preview over the next couple of weeks in anticipation of Wapahani playing in the 2A boys basketball state final at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. Again, the ticket information and all the information you could possibly want or need. It would go through Wapahani High School for all of that. I would imagine tickets will be open here for a little bit of time, but you can there's a lot of capacity at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. I know you'd want to sit in the Wapahani section if you're going. So again, that's where you want to get all that info and everything like that. So again, the story is going to be bigger than just this basketball team. And they know that, that they're playing for something just a little bit bigger than themselves based on what occurred on Thursday night as well. And I told this story on Blake FM on Saturday a little bit. And Saturday was a big day from a lot of different standpoints, but obviously a lot of people saw the story related to helping and volunteering to pick up debris. I think we mentioned that on the show on Friday a little bit, that that was going to occur on Saturday morning. So I was heading to Logansport, and you know, I'm a very structured individual. From the time I get my coffee, from the time I eat at lunch, all those different things. I've told you that before. Maybe it's a little bit over the top the way that I schedule out my day. So my wife can attest to that. And so I decided, you know what, my game is going to tip off around noon. I'm not going to have a chance to eat lunch beforehand because typically we get to game site a couple hours before our pregame show to set up our equipment, make sure everything's testing like it should be, and get ready for the broadcast. And so I was like, you know what, I'm going to get up a little bit earlier, and I'm going to go over to the east side of town to go get my coffee and get a breakfast sandwich. So I did that. I was on the bypass. I came off of Memorial, the 32 exit, heading east towards Selma, went and got a coffee, and went and got a breakfast sandwich. As I was at that stoplight, I was about to turn left. And, I was at the stoplight waiting for traffic to go by. Traffic goes by, and I see 2 to 3 trucks filled with tools that you could only assume are tools for construction and those sorts of things. And then I got to thinking of which way they were headed. They were headed towards Selma. This is about 8 to 8:30 in the morning. And so I went and got my coffee. I went and got my breakfast sandwich, and I kind of pocketed that information for later and mentioned it on Saturday. It seemed like that crew was headed east towards Selma, and the truck was packed with all the different things you would need to help clean up debris. So that was moving, emotional, moving, all those different things. And that's what this community does, right? They pick up and help. That's what they do. So a lot of different stories will be coming out over the next couple of days. I know the IHSA is going to come out with some great stories and all those different things. So look, Delaware County community and the Selma community as well, as much as you can, this is just a special couple of weeks. And this team's going to represent well, of course, and we'll cover it all, but we know it's bigger than just what's on the basketball floor. But I hope for a little bit of time, at least, you got to smile, enjoy yourselves a little bit on Saturday. And that's the true fun part of all of it, that in the midst of a lot of tough in a 48-hour span, that certainly got the community excited and optimistic as well. So that's number one with Wapahani. On the other side, very tough game for Delta. We chronicled it here on WMUN. By the way, Yorktown head basketball coach Matt Moulton was absolutely positively outstanding with our coverage on Saturday. Want to throw out a public shout out to him. He was absolutely outstanding. Had a lot of fun working with him, and I was very impressed with the amount of preparation that he put into it, and I believe that's the first time he's broadcasted, and I got to tell you, he was flat-out outstanding. So a big shout-out to Coach Matt Moulton. He was absolutely fantastic to work with. Delta got through in the morning game, and then the evening game was as crazy a game as I've ever been a part of in a broadcast. I've been doing this 15 years. There's been people that have been doing it several decades longer than I have. I have never seen anything like that. A 44-41 triple overtime game and the twists and turns and the margins that were there. And obviously, it ended in tough fashion. You know, a great set play with 4 seconds to play. Ball goes through the hands of a Delta player and couldn't convert the lay-in. And South Bend Shane Joe ran out the clock in 3 overtimes. And one of the most gutting scenes you will see after a game, because Delta knew that there were chances to be had there. Delta knew that the amount of opportunities that slipped through their fingers, and in a couple of ways, literally, that at the end of the game. And you just go back to, you know, there were players cramping on the floor. They were being stretched out during the middle of timeouts. There were some that had to come out of the game, come back in the game. It was an absolute battle. It just was – it took the life of like a physicality battle. It was 44-41. It was 35-35 at the end of regulation. So in an extra 12 minutes of overtime, there was a combination of 16 points scored from both schools. That is how much strategic and defensively these teams battled. And it was just such a bummer that Delta wasn't on the winning side for a lot of different reasons. But I think mostly, as you know, again, over the last couple of days, I'm sure it comes to their mind that they say, look, there were ample opportunities to be had there. And that's the part that's going to eat at them. And just like any other game, when you know you had the opportunities to get it done and it just didn't go your way, it's going to eat at you. But I'm going to go to the flip side, and this is what we said on the post-game show coverage. And that is, I don't think they would have done anything differently. I don't think they have any second-guessing. I don't think they have anything as far as, wow, we really messed up X opportunity. It truly ended up being the fact of the matter, the plays that they put themselves in a position to make, it just didn't happen. And that's not a criticism. That's a matter of fact of saying you left it all out there. Because I have been around coaches and players that go back to situations and say, I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have decided to do this instead of this. And after that game, the let out of emotion and the feeling afterwards was, golly, we did everything we could to get to that moment. And, you know, fact of the matter is, in a 3-overtime game with South Bend, St. Joe, and Delta, somebody was going to be on that side where they would have said the exact same thing. If Delta would have won that game, South Bend, St. Joe would have said the exact same thing. We did everything we could possibly do. Delta held a team that was scoring 67 points per game to 44 in an extra 12 minutes. So not a 32-minute basketball game, a 44-minute basketball game. So that's number one. South Bend St. Joe said, you know what? Hey, we didn't score up to what we needed to, but we played Delta style, and we hung around for 3 overtimes and won. So both sides can say the exact same thing, that they put everything out there. And I don't think there are very few times where you feel that way. Because if you lose by double figures, if you lose by 15, you second guess, oh my gosh, did we have the wrong defense? Did we not put in the right sets offensively? You know, did we not do this? Did we not do that? In a 3-overtime game that came down to a tie game after, you know, 2 overtimes and regulation, like, what else can you say? And I hope as the dust settles here in the next couple of weeks, you can look back at that and say, well, exactly that They left not only did you leave everything out there, which I know people are going to say, oh, that comes across as a cliche. You left it all out there, but at the same time, you wouldn't change anything about how you executed down the stretch. Yeah, a play here, a play there, but from a conceptual standpoint, your plan worked. You did what you needed to do defensively. You made proper plays offensively when you needed to. You just, there were a couple plays you just didn't execute, and at the end of the day, so be it. They made maybe one more play than you did. That's it. That's all. And that hurts. I know that hurts. But, folks, the run that Delta went on in back-to-back seasons to get to the semi-state championship in back-to-back seasons is flat-out impressive and shows a lot about this group and this particular run for Delta basketball. Folks, it had never happened that there were two area teams in the semi-state at the same time. We confirmed that a couple of days ago, Rob Fisher and I did. But I did go back to give you a perspective at how many teams have gone to the semi-state championship in back-to-back seasons. Okay? The only team that has done this is Muncie Central in Delaware County. The only team that has done this is Muncie Central in Delaware County. They did it in 51 and 52, 54 and 55, 58, 59, 60 and 61, 78 and 79, and of course 2005 and 2006. Muncie Central is the only one in the area other than obviously, is the only one in the area that's gone to back-to-back semi-state championship games. Not just to the semi-state round, but back-to-back. So that's number one. There are only two other programs other than Wapahani, of course, that have gotten to the semi-state round in back-to-back seasons, and it happened twice. Muncie Burris did it in 1941 and 1942, and Muncie Southside did it in 1964 and 1965. Okay, so the fact of the matter is the run that they went on is incredibly unique. To not just get to the semi-state championship once, but to get there in two straight years is flat out unheard of. It is. I mean, you got to think of the teams that make state championships back-to-back. It doesn't happen very often in the class system. It just doesn't happen at all. It is flat out incredible what they accomplished. So literally, Muncie Central is the only school that has done this multiple times in Delaware County, back-to-back seasons of a semi-state championship appearance. That is, by the way, the IHSA state tournament started in 1911. There have been hundreds of years of basketball around Delaware County, and there is only one school that has gone to a semi-state championship in back-to-back seasons. Delta basketball, you got to hold on to that. No question about it. And as we said on Saturday, it's going to take some time to have that sink in. And we understand that. Everybody understands that. The loss is still going to sting regardless of how anybody compartmentalizes it. I mean, there's no question about it. But when I looked back, I guessed before I looked at the data and said, I bet you Muncie Central's the only team in area history to go to back-to-back semi-state championship games. And I know they did it multiple times because they've won back-to-back state championships a couple of times in their history. But that is one of the winningest programs in state history that Delta's being compared to in their own county. And I would imagine around the state there aren't very many back-to-back semi-state championship appearances, period. So, I wanted to put that out there, not to make anybody feel any better about it, but to put into perspective just how unique this run was for Delta basketball. I salute you. An absolute pleasure to be on the call for both of those semi-state championship runs. I got to tell you, it's been two of the most enjoyable broadcasting experiences to cover this team the last 2 years in the semi-state round, bar none. bar none. Thanks to those of you joining us on Facebook Live. Appreciate that very, very much. Oh, my gosh, we are loaded with basketball. Loaded with basketball. Ball State women's basketball did not make the NCAA tournament, but they are headed to the WBIT, which is an invitational tournament that the NCAA puts on. And so they will be playing in that. Actually, coverage of their first game against Belmont will be Thursday around 3:40. So they'll be in this time slot a little bit later this week. But, you know, I was watching the tournament draw coverage last night. And as things were occurring, and Indiana State didn't get in, and then in the women's side, Ball State didn't get in, social media went nuts. And it went nuts with people trying to qualify what had occurred. And then a lot more smarter people than I started throwing out some things that I am going to collect into one conversation coming up next about the true problem in college basketball right now. And this is by no means just the state of Indiana conversation of, oh, Ball State didn't get in, and oh, Indiana State didn't get in. It's a bigger issue than that, and we'll get to it when we come back and simplify it for you right after this. Here on the Power on a Monday, we are loaded with content. Stay with us on the Talk of Muncie. Yes, welcome back inside a Monday show. Power Talk of Muncie, the new WMUN. You guessed it. We're presented by Walls Furniture and Mattress, Nebo Road in Muncie, and online at wallsfurniture.com. 90% of what's on the showroom floor in stock for you 48 hours or less. That's the Walls Furniture and Mattress difference on Nebo Road in Muncie. And you can shop online anytime. That is wallsfurniture.com. Calls welcome, 765-287-1340 at Mark WMUN on Twitter as well. Hope you all had a great weekend filled with a lot of basketball, whether it be the high school variety. And again, we will certainly let you know about our coverage plans surrounding Wapahani boys basketball playing in the 2A state championship. And that is not this Saturday, but next Saturday. So that is the 30th of March, and they are scheduled to play in the second game. It'd be approximately a 12:45 tip from Gainbridge Fieldhouse, Brownstown Central, and Wapahani. But again, we have a little bit of time to preview this. It's almost like this week's like Super Bowl week in a way, because you get that week in between and a little bit of rest. Maybe that's a good thing for both sides of things. Of course, the reason why it's not consecutive from semi-state to state is the NCAA tournament's happening in Indianapolis coming up this weekend. And oh boy, were there conversations after the selection committee did a couple of things. Now, the most noteworthy in the state of Indiana was the fact that Indiana State did not get in. And I told you this last week, I had a fear that this would be the end result. Indiana State becomes the highest ranked team to be left out of the NCAA tournament after in the net. They were the 29th ranked team in the net and did not get in. Because, oh my gosh, they didn't have enough quad one wins. Oh my gosh, you know, look at all these quad one wins Virginia had in Michigan State. Like, okay, I looked at the net rankings, and I can't for a second understand how Michigan State is in this tournament. I'm sorry, okay? I can't understand for a second a 19-14 team lost to Indiana a week ago. Indiana isn't even close to sniffing an NCAA tournament bid. And by the way, I think they had an identical record in the regular season. Identical. Identical record. But Michigan State, A, has brand going for them, and B, has, you know, they play in the Big Ten, so obviously so. Indiana had a stretch where they lost their way, and I get it. I understand that. But when I look at Michigan State's resume, and I look at some of the other teams that didn't make it, and forget just Indiana State, St. John's had certainly had a gripe as well. The whole deal with Michigan State made no sense to me at all. I didn't get it. I still haven't gotten it, and I've been asking those out there who can explain it to me. The Virginia nonsense is insane. I mean, Virginia getting in is absolute ridiculousness, and this, we're not even getting to the Indiana State resume and the problem we have in college basketball, and Ball State women's basketball and Toledo women's basketball can actually say the exact same thing. The committee would rather have the fifth or sixth ranked team there because, A, it's going to bring eyeballs. So if there is any sort of back and forth on who should or would get in, the tie's always going to go to the Power 5 school, because you're going to look at the quad one games, and it may not be just how many games they won, but look at how many quad one games they played. And, you know, I'm starting to learn something here, okay? And, you know, there were some people that started to bring up this conversation, okay? And I'm just throwing this out hypothetically. I don't know this for a fact. I'm throwing this out there for analysis, okay? And I said this to somebody today. Ball State men's basketball last year went 20-12, okay? They went 20-12, and, you know, had a nice surge at the end. They beat the eventual conference tournament champion, Kent State, towards the end of the season. They were riding high. They were a team that nobody wanted to play. Michael Lewis seen as one of the best first-year coaches in the country, a program about to be built at Ball State, all of the different things surrounding it. And then, you know, we started to see the schedule come out, okay? We started to see the schedule come out here, and there were fans that were like, kind of looked at the schedule and kind of compared it and looked at some of the competition and those sorts of things. And look, that was out there, and Michael Lewis addressed it and those sorts of things. And look, to be honest with you, I didn't pay much attention to it at the time, because ultimately it was always going to come down to how you played in conference and those sorts of things and everything. And now I'm going to go one step deeper on this, because there's a couple layers of issues that are happening in scheduling in college basketball, and it's going to get worse before it gets better. And here's why. If you're a Power 5 school, and by the way, they're not what you should complain about. You should complain about the system. You should complain about the net, because the net, it means nothing, nada, absolutely zilch. The net means nothing. It's another thing that you can throw out there and say, well, you know, if you don't have a great net ranking, it's another qualifier. The net means zero, because the NCAA basically said it meant zero yesterday. Because how in the world a team 56th in the net, So if you do the math, that is 27 spots lower than Indiana State. It's 20 spots lower than St. John's. There is no argument at all. This isn't just an Indiana State argument. This is, they've been pumping the net, they've been pumping that rating. There is no explanation at all. So the net means nothing. So let's forget the net. But if I'm a Power 5 school, and we've started to see this with Power 5 schools, and their non-conference schedule looks cupcake-ish, you know why they're doing that? They don't have to play anybody. They don't have to. Now, they may go to the Champions Classic and play Kansas. That's good notoriety for them. But they know at the end of the day, if they have one or two of those, it is not going to hurt them when it comes to tournament time, because they know, if it's Michigan State versus Indiana State for an at-large bid, by walking into their conference, they're automatically going to have 7-8 quad one games. And if they go 500 or better, who cares? It's not even a conversation. Indiana State has zero leg to stand on. And Josh Schertz has been very much out there about the fact that they tried to get more quad one games. Nobody wanted to play them. Nobody wanted to play them at all. And, you know, Ball State did the same thing. You know, Ball State, and Coach Michael Lewis has said this, too, about Ball State scheduling. Hey, I want to preserve the Indiana rivalries. But you also got to look at it and say this. You're scheduling Indiana State. Indiana State's scheduling you because both of you need that game. I mean, it's the most like-minded game of two really good programs. In some ways, Indiana State needed to have Ball State on. It is amazing, the scheduling issue that's out there. So you kind of understand this, and the spotlight's put on this now, because as you look at it and you think from a Power 5 perspective, they are sitting on house money when it comes to the NCAA tournament. They are sitting there and saying, why the heck would we schedule anybody else? So the days right now of, was it Indiana that played back in the mid-2010s? They went to Fort Wayne and got beat, because they went to Fort Wayne, and after the game, people said, well, that will never, ever be scheduled again. Well, now, why the heck would any of those power... So, here's the deal. Indiana State got screwed from a couple of different angles. Ball State women's basketball might get there, and Toledo women's basketball might get there as well. Because Toledo and Ball State had great success this year in women's basketball. If you're a Power 5 school, unless it's a tournament aspect, why in the world would you play Ball State or Toledo? Because at the end of the day, if we're going by quad one, if we're going by net, and these Power 5 schools can just sit there in their conference and say, well, we're going to automatically play 7, 8, 9 quad one games. We know at the end of the day, the at-large, there's no chance for a mid-major to get that over a Power 5. And folks, there's your problem. It's not a... oh my gosh, they don't pay attention to the little guy. It's the fact of the matter, the system, there is no chance for an at-large. So not only does a Ball State or an Indiana State have to schedule out of their minds in non-conference to prove to the committee before the season starts, the regular season almost means nothing as it comes to the conference tournament. Because it all matters who wins the conference tournament, because it doesn't matter what you do in non-conference or in conference regular season at all, because Toledo and Ball State in women's basketball had a combined 8 losses in the regular season to 56 wins. And they both didn't make the championship, and poof, there goes their at-large, there goes their conversation for the NCAA tournament. So they almost can't do anything to make their situation better unless they get the automatic bid. That's the problem. That's the problem, ladies and gentlemen. And there you go. It was on full display in the women's side and the men's side yesterday. So again, it's probably going to get worse before it gets better. I have no idea what can be done about this. But mid-majors are at such a disadvantage right now, it ain't even close. It's not even close. So some of you may have seen that yesterday, and so I was following along. You should go to my Twitter right now, and Doug Gottlieb, who has a show on Fox Sports Radio, and you hear him all the time, go to my Twitter and look at the one-sheet breakdown of Virginia's season. And it'll make you question everything about how in the world did Virginia get in. It makes no sense. I mean, zero sense. They were bad against quad one. They did great against quad three, quad four. Their net was 56. I mean, all the analytics that should tell you Virginia has no business getting in, they get in anyway. It is unreal. Unbelievable. Couldn't believe it at all. Now, I get that there were bid stealers. I get all these things, and you can make all these excuses in the committee and the direction, which I guess was originating, the response was originating from Carmel, Indiana, because the NCAA headquarters are in Indianapolis. The system's broken. It absolutely is. Indiana State got screwed. I mean, there's no question about it. I personally think Ball State and Toledo women's basketball got screwed. I really, really do. Because what else were they supposed to do? Ball State took care of everything they needed to take care of in non-conference. They had one slip up in conference play. But you know what? The fact of the matter is, we don't ding Power Fives when they have a bad conference loss. When it doesn't fall in Quad 1, we just look at the fact that they played 10 to 11 Quad 1 games inside their conference, so that's good enough. Who cares who they lost to? But it dings the mid-majors. They have to be absolutely almost perfect. Oh, and then win their conference tournament, by the way. So it's not just you have to be great in conference play. In the regular season, you can't make any mistakes, and then you have to win your conference tournament. So then what happens in the regular season, really, it's unbelievable. And, oh, by the way, no Power 5 will play him in non-conference now. So the better you get as a mid-major, the less your chance gets. It's unreal. It absolutely is. So I guess that's my rant this week. There you go. Oh, goodness. It was truly laughable yesterday, and I don't see it getting any better. I really don't. All right, we'll take a break, come back, jump in on that conversation. Colts were rumored to make a splash. It never happened. Doesn't sound like it's going to happen now. We'll talk about that in basketball when we come back. Murph Gosselin Roofing has been helping families for generations. Remember to call Pete Dahl. You'll look them up at worryfreeroof.com. Glad you're with us in the show. Yeah, we got fired up there a moment ago, but it was glaring. I don't remember the last time a mid-major was ranked in the top 35 in the net and, you know, what all occurred, but what the heck was Indiana State supposed to do? They did everything they were supposed to do, and, you know, they were prevented from getting better games. So how do you improve that? It's out of their control. And yet the sixth-place team in the Mountain West is going to get in or whatever. I don't know. It's insane. Absolutely positively insane. But, hey, it is what it is. And Indiana State headed to the NIT. Butler is there as well. Ball State women's basketball will play in the WBIT. Again, this is the NCAA's version. It's the first year for it of kind of the WNIT and more national TV exposure, etc. Ball State's going to host a home game coming up on Thursday at Worthen Arena. 4 o'clock is the tip-off, and Belmont will be their matchup coming up. So still some basketball to be played for Ball State women's basketball here in a couple of days' time. Should be interesting. To see how all that plays out. The Colts were rumored to be a part of the L'Jarius Sneed conversation. I think we mentioned it to George Brimmer from the Herald Bulletin on Friday. There were a couple of reports out there that the Colts were ironing out the details of the long-term contract. And yeah, I think it's kind of interesting. But it seems like the fact that this has gone the last couple of days, that it's less and less likely this gets done, and maybe it never even was a conversation at all. So there's been conflicting reports on whether the Colts were almost going to acquire whatever. It's a confusing situation. Fact of the matter is, it seems like it's not going to happen now. Going to be very, very interesting to see how all of that ends up playing out. So, all right, we had a lot to recap on this Monday. Believe it, we're going to have a lot to get to this week. Can't wait to talk about it all. Congratulations to Wapahani Boys Basketball. We can't wait to keep following along with that story. We're back with you tomorrow, same time, same place, 4 o'clock, here on the Talk of Muncie, WMUN.